Well, good morning. Welcome. Glad you guys are able to join us, especially when it's good weather, like, because you could be anywhere right now. So really grateful to have you guys here as we are continuing in on this series that we're titled Uncommon Sense. And last week, Dermot started us off and reminded us that uncommon sense that we're talking about is actually wisdom. And he encourages us to pursue wisdom. And he started out this last week with a quote, and the quote is this, and I think it's a good place for us to start today. It says, "Common sense is something we all need, few have, and none think they lack." And isn't it true, right? I mean, we look around the world, and there are just so many examples where common sense is sometimes lacking. And now, we don't think it's ever us, but sometimes it is, right? In fact, not too long ago, I was talking to this guy, and I said to him, you know, isn't it just so true, you know, that you just don't know what you don't know? And his response to me was, yes, I do. And I was like, no, you the fact that you don't know it means you don't know it. And I think sometimes, though, we get stuck in this, right? We have these blind spots, often that we call them, where we're totally ignorant to the fact that we just don't know something. But sometimes when this happens, and I don't know, maybe you're like me, sometimes it happens, what we experience is called a fail. And I love watching these videos on the internet. And so I thought this would be a perfect way to introduce this topic of failure by just watch this. This is good stuff. Love it. I mean, especially that one where he's like walking on the dock and he just walks straight into a pole. Have any of you ever walked into something? It hurts. But it's the truth. Whenever you are just kind of blindly and oftentimes confidently walking towards something and your blindness gets the better of you, and it hurts. And fail sometimes hurts. In fact, I was watching some of your faces and I love this. Because oftentimes when I'm watching these videos, my wife reminds me, like, people are actually getting hurt. And I was looking, it's like some of you ladies are like, and the guy's like, I don't know, there's maybe something different in the way we approach this, guys. But the truth of the matter is that it does hurt. And we don't want, like, I don't enjoy watching people get hurt. And I don't want them to get hurt, and or at least not too much. But, you know, when you're ignorant, that equals failure. It's just kind of a fact of the way that things work. When you walk blindly, sometimes you could get lucky for a while, but sooner or later, you're going to walk into something. And oftentimes we find ourselves in life doing just that. All of us do it. We all have blind spots, don't we? And the Bible talks about this, and it uses a word to talk about when we confidently walk with these blind spots, thinking we got it figured out, and boom, experience failure. And the word is pride. And so I'm going to read this. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open up with me. Some Proverbs 16:18. Or if not, you can just follow along on the screen. So Proverbs 16:18, and it starts out and it says this. It says, "Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall." Now, oftentimes when we read these things in the Bible, right, we automatically like read things into them like, oh, God wants to judge all the prideful people in the world. But that's actually not the spirit with which this is written. It's more just a statement of fact, almost like what we just watched, right? If you confidently walk thinking that you have it figured out, and you have blind spots, what's going to happen? You're going to fail. It's just the way that things work. Pride comes before destruction. Haughtiness, when you think you got to figure it out, and you keep walking, sooner or later you're going to hit a lamp. And it just comes before a fall. It's the way that it is. And God wants us to realize that. He wants us to be mindful of that. In the Proverbs, they give us all this advice so that we'll be able to see maybe some areas in our life where we lack common sense, where we have blind spots. And so the verse continues, and it continues in an area that I think a lot of us struggle, and maybe we all have blind spots. So it says this. It says, "It's better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud." Better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud. Now, I think you have to think about this a little because this verse almost seems to reinforce something that we almost naturally all think, right? That if you want to be humble, you need to be poor because poor people are humble, and rich people, they're proud. You want to stay away from them because they're proud. But that's actually not what this verse is saying because the person that wrote this verse on, he was among the most rich people that have ever walked the face of the earth. I mean, this guy had it all, but he was also one of the most humble people that ever lived. He was able to receive and take on and live out instruction. And that's why he's able to share these things. And what he's telling us is that Humility is actually of so much greater value than you realize. You think that money, all of us know it's better to be rich than it is to be poor. He's assuming that we know that, but he's saying you'd be better off being poor and have humility than you would to be rich and to be proud. And I think the reason he's saying this is because all the money in the world isn't going to change the fact that if you walk blindly yet confidently, the result is going to be failure. And money isn't going to change that. And also, I think we have this blind spot is that we place more value in money than it actually deserves. And sometimes it distracts us and it creates blind spots in our lives. And that's why I think he continues on, and the verse continues, and it says this. It says, those who listen to instruction will prosper. It's those who trust in the Lord that will be joyful. And what it's leading us towards is this area that a lot of us have blind spots, right? Think about this for just a moment with me. What is it that brings you prosperity? That's what it says in this verse, right? Prosperity, what is it? Maybe if you think of an event or a time in your life where you felt you were prospering, what does it look like? Maybe it was a time when work was just going really well for you, or you just got a promotion, or maybe it's a house, maybe it's a place. What does prosperity look like? And what does joy look like? What are some of the times in your life that you've been the most joyful? Maybe it's the birth of a child. Maybe it's a relationship. And I think oftentimes our joy is wrapped around relationships. And I think there's two areas where we're particularly prone to having blind spots when it comes in terms of where our value and our prosperity comes from and where our joy comes from is sometimes our money and our relationships. Because what gets in the way of your prosperity? What is it? When you think about that, is it you don't have enough money? Is it that maybe you don't have the right job? Or if you could just get this promotion, then you'd finally be prospering. Or you need this house or this next thing. Or what more do you need? Or maybe it's relationships. Maybe if my girlfriend or boyfriend was just, if my family, my dad, my mom, if my spouse, if I just had a different spouse, then finally I'd be happy. And a lot of times we think that all these things are going to change it, because oftentimes our joy and our prosperity, we find value in the wrong things and we have blind spots in our lives. And because of that, the writer here is trying to get us to this spot where we realize something, that when it comes to this massive problem that we all have, and experiencing, because all these things keep getting in the way of our joy, right? They do. Things get in the way of our prosperity, of feeling like we're good. And we have these blind spots. And when it comes down to it, we just don't know what's going to bring us joy and prosperity. We just don't. And it's actually, everybody say that with me, because it's actually kind of freeing to say on the count of three, one, two, three, I don't know. And it's kind of the starting place for humility. It's just realizing that, man, there's a lot that I don't know. Because pride says that you know. Pride thinks that you know best, but faith trusts that God knows best. Because when it comes down to this, there's two parts to this verse. The first one is those who listen to instruction will prosper, but it's not just any instruction, is it? See, there's a lot of relationships that we could be drawn towards and a lot of people that think, yeah, I got the secret to joy and prosperity. And if you just trust me, and sometimes it's our family or our friends, or sometimes it's maybe just another voice in out there. But the truth of the matter is that all of us understand that it would be terrible to just listen to any instruction out there. I mean, there's a lot of bad voices. Who you trust matter. And this verse is encouraging you, saying, trust God. Trust that he knows more than you know. Trust that he knows more than you know. But that's difficult to do, isn't it? To trust that God knows more than you. And I think all of us, trusting God is difficult. And we have a hard time knowing what that looks like. And there's been a lot of bad examples sometimes in the past. People that say they trust God, and maybe the way they did it is actually not very helpful at all, right? But think about it. The way that you trust anybody is kind of the same. If you want to demonstrate that you trust somebody, you have to do something about it. And it always takes a little bit of a risk, right? You have to put it into practice. Imagine if I said that I trust my wife, that I believe in her, I support her, but let's say I didn't spend all my money, all my time, all my energy somewhere else. Would that relationship last very long? Of course not. Because trust requires us to take action. But for some reason, especially when it comes down to God, we totally ignore that. But the problem with ignorance, ignore equals fail. And we've seen it time and time when it comes to religion, and that's the reason that I think so many people have just lost trust in religion. And unfortunately, they've based that and they've built into that a mistrust of God. But that's not what God wants. Here's what God wants. I found this recently because I bought a fan, because like many of you, it's hot, and I needed something to sleep at night. And so I bought this fan, and with it came this instruction manual. And it says this, ignore fail, read succeed. And I love this because I think it would actually make a really great Bible cover. Ignore fail, read succeed. But here's what I mean by this, okay? Imagine that I took this instruction manual and I just poured through it. I read it every single day. I memorized the lines of this instruction manual. And not only that, once a week I would get together and I would read this out loud with just the amount, a best amount of respect. I would maybe even turn some of these into songs, but we'll get fitting the motor to the base, unscrew the knob at the bottom rear of the motor far enough to allow the metal to. I mean, read it. You can read these things with the amount of best amount of respect possible. You could write songs about them, but unless you put it into practice, this thing has absolutely no value. It's worthless. The whole point of this is so that I know how to put together my fan. And the point of this is because God wants you to experience something in your life that you don't know. That all of us, me, you, we all have blind spots. There's things that we think we know, and oftentimes we end up walking blindly into failure. And God wants us to experience more. And one of the ways he wants us to experience more is with something that is close to our heart, even though we don't say it is, sometimes it is with our finances. And so what I want to do is I want to finish this message talking about that. And I want to talk about it because even Jesus said that it was close to your heart. In fact, Jesus said this verse. He says, ignore fail. That's not the verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's the verse. For there your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Matthew 6:21. Because Jesus knew that treasure is sometimes close to our heart. He knew what we don't know about relationship. Whenever you trust someone, you spend time and energy and money and resources on them. You do that. That's just a fact of life. It's the way it works. And one of the great things about Jesus is that even though we showed him total disrespect, but we have totally ignored so many of the things that he gave to us, he offers us forgiveness. And he offers us forgiveness in a way that we would never offer forgiveness. If someone showed us the disrespect that we show God, we would kick them to the curb. But Jesus, what does he do? He forgives us, and he offers us this chance to renew our trust. But trust isn't just as simple as just believing. It's putting it into practice. And so what I want to do is I want to go through and I want to look at several places in God's word where we're encouraged to just put it into practice, okay? And especially in terms when it comes to money. And I'm probably going to share more scripture than I should with you in this part, mostly because I want you to realize this isn't my words. This is God actually cares about you experiencing prosperity. And you might be surprised that a lot of these verses seem aimed at you actually experiencing more out of life. But not only that, he wants you to experience the joy that can only come from a relationship with him. And so let's just dig through this and let's look at what the Bible says to us about money. And let's do our best to see how can we put this into practice. So this is the first thing. The Bible actually tells us to work hard. Work hard. And we're going to put these up there, and I might go through these too fast, so if you want to take notes, you can just snap a picture at the end of it and so you can remember where some of these scriptures are. But it says this, all hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. And we've seen this, you know, people that have all these great business ideas, but they never amount to anything because just talking about it doesn't do anything. You have to actually put it into action. So God wants us to work hard. He says this, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense at all. I mean, there's so many just get-rich-quick schemes out there. I mean, so many people invest in a lottery thinking that it will make the change for them, but only one person wins, right? I mean, you don't get rich off the lottery. In fact, when I was growing up, my dad used to tell me that the lottery is a tax for people that can't do math. Because that's not going to bring you wealth in your life. The next thing is this, and this is just very straightforward. Don't love sleep or you're going to grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare. What does this tell us? Wake up. A lot of times the enemy of us succeeding when it comes to our work is just being disciplined with our sleep schedule. And it's really simple, but it's not so easy to put into practice. It's really actually common sense, but it's not so common. So the next thing it tells us to do is this: plan ahead. This is Proverbs 10, 4 through 5. It says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in the summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So the idea here is that you know that winter is coming. And if you sleep when you should be working, it's kind of a disgraceful thing because it's not a surprise. You know that right now it's blazing hot, but pretty soon it's going to be freezing and you're going to need to pay to stay warm. And if you don't have money for that, it shouldn't be a surprise to you. Or you know that certain things are going to happen, like you're going to have to pay your car tax. You're going to have to budget for that. And so this idea of planning ahead is looking, what are the things that you need to live? Do you have a plan for those things? And separating from those, the things that you need from the things that you want. Because a lot of the things we spend our money and we spend our resources aren't things that we need. And it's really easy to let things just kind of slip through the cracks. And so budgeting helps you kind of lay out a plan. And there's lots of places you guys can go. If you just look up budget online, there's loads of resources that you can look to find out this. But I'm going to tell you a few things that should be on the budget that you find. One of them should be this. This is the next thing God encourages us to do. And this is his word. It says save, right? He says actually that saving is important. Proverbs 13:11 says, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Dishonest money windows away, but it's that saving is something that you do little by little. That a part of your budget should be just take a portion apart and say, I'm going to save this. Every single month. Even if it's a little, I know that over time it's going to grow. Now the purpose, I don't want us to get lost in this, because the purpose of this isn't so that we'll get rich. That's not what God means whenever he uses the word prosperity. It's so much deeper than that. Proverbs 23:4 says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Don't trust in your own cleverness. This isn't about you. It's about something more than that. And then 16:16 Proverbs says this, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Same thing that Solomon has been reminded us, what you save for matters. So saving up to buy a new car, you might need a car, but there's probably better ways that you could invest money. Education would be a great thing to invest in. And so what you save for matters. The next thing, and I think this is really the enemy of savings, and I'm going to say this verse and then we'll move on to the next one, but the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. And one of the things really working against us being disciplined and saving is that we just get really hasty, right? In fact, almost all marketing is designed to tell you, you need this and you need it now. And if you don't get it really quick, the sale's going to be over. And so make sure and buy it really quick because you need it, even though most of the times you don't need it at all. And so you got to be really mindful of that haste that's present in you. And one of the ways that it pushes you towards, and this is also something that's really prevalent, it pushes you to borrow. And the Bible tells us, just simply, don't borrow money. Actually, don't really lean into borrowing money, because so much of the borrowing system is built to do what? To take advantage of your haste. Oh, I need this right now. So 10 simple payments and you can have this TV now instead of waiting for it. Or you can have this bed now. But this is what scripture says. It says, do not be one who shakes hands in a pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched out from under you. And what it's reminding us that every time you borrow, right, you make a pledge to say that you're going to pay it back. And usually, too, there's some security. So, like, if you borrow to buy a car, if you don't pay, what do? They take the car back because the car is security for this loan that they're giving you. And what Solomon has reminded us is don't do this. Because if you don't pay it back, and there's a lot of other proverbs too that say, especially don't do this with a stranger. Like, be wise in the way that you approach this. And if you're using haste as a reason to borrow, that's not a wise reason. And so he's warning us against that. And another wise thing to do is, another thing that leads us to borrow is sometimes our pride. Because all of us, I've been in the spot, you could get to the spot. Sometimes you get to the spot where maybe it's because of things outside of your control, or maybe you were just poor budgeting your money and you didn't even realize it, but you had to get something that was essential, like food or pay for rent or something like that, and then you decided that you were gonna borrow to do that. Sometimes the reason we do that too is because sometimes we're too proud to ask for help. And I'm saying this because sometimes I'm too proud to ask for help. But this next thing that God wants for us kind of stands in opposition to our pride. It stands in opposition to us being hasty. And this is what God reminds us: to give generously. And the other side of that, though, is to receive humbly. Because if someone's given, someone's receiving. And so sometimes it's just a matter of being humble enough to ask, because what God wants is for this cycle of generosity to be a part of a community which trusts and knows him. And I'm gonna read this verse to you. It's in Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, and there's probably about 100 other verses I could have read, but this is just the one I picked. It says, "One person gives freely and yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." If you really want to enjoy, and this is part of the reason why God wants you to have, he actually wants you to be prosperous, because he wants you to be able to experience what generosity can bring. And not just the generosity of giving, but also the humility that comes from receiving, because humility is actually of more value than money. And we're all really prone to mess this up, and we all have blind spots where we think we know what's best, and it's really hard for us to trust God. And that's where this is going, and it's where we started. And the last thing that the Bible tells us is this: give to God. Give to God. And it's different than being generous to other people. God wants us to give to charities, to other causes. That's great. It refreshes your soul. But giving to God is different. Here's what it says. It says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Remember, some of this is about being humble, admitting that there's things that you don't know. "This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." It's that same theme that we saw already. Now it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." What first fruits means, it is the same thing that you would think it would mean. Priorities matter. And what we're talking about here is so much more than just money, isn't it? I mean, God's purpose here is so clear. It's not just about money. It's more about where your priorities, and especially when it comes to relationships, priorities matter. And so first fruits is this idea of whatever you make. So back then, it would have farmers, they would have had crops. That would have been their primary income. Take whatever that first bit is and set it aside. Set it aside for God. And to do that first. So basically, when you make your budgets, it would be to say, okay, I'm going to do this bit to God. And for a lot of people, and it's based upon scripture, a lot of people say, you know, I'm going to do 10%. But whatever it is, pick something, right? I'm going to give to God, and I'm going to save, and I'm going to live off the rest. Now, I'm going to be wise in the way that I live off the rest, and I'm going to be wise in the way that I save, and I'm also going to be wise in the way that I give to God. Because I know for all of you, this is hard, and it's hard to even say, because people are so prone to that their blind spots blind them, but this isn't about money. It really is about your heart, because whenever you give to God, and even if, now, it's the responsibility of the church to be good stewards of your own, but even if they screw it up, do you believe that God is big enough that you could trust him with your money? That is the heart of all of this. It is all about your trust. And I mean that so much. If you don't, if you think that I'm, go find a place where you can trust. It's not about this church. It's about trusting God. And the reason that we go into this is because God wants you to prosper. And he knows that if you have these things lined up, if you are able to realize that humility and trusting God is actually more important than money, it will have an unimaginable impact on your life. That what this says is really true, and it's so hard for us to believe this, that God actually knows. It's hard for me to believe this and to live this out. There's so many voices telling us otherwise. But ignore equals fail. It's just the way it works. But read, and it's not just read, it's trust. It's more about trust equals success. God wants what's best for us, but are we going to put that into practice? And are we going to put it into practice in a way that's really close to our hearts? And sometimes we don't even realize it with our finances and with our prosperity and with the joy that we want to experience in life. Are we going to trust God with that? Let's just finish in prayer. And the band's going to come up and we're just going to sing because all this is about trust. So let's just pray and just talk to God together. God, I'm so grateful that, first of all, that you forgive us when we show so much disrespect to you and that you went to such great lengths to show that even despite all of the bad examples out there that we can trust you and that we can trust you when it comes to things that are just everyday and things that matter in our lives and that you give us guidance on things that are practical and bring purpose and bring prosperity and joy into our lives. And God, help us to believe that and give us the courage to live that out so that we wouldn't be a part of what was worthless religion, but that God, it's something different would be present here that would just bring about a generosity that flows out to where so many people would know it. God, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.